Hello, everyone. Welcome. Today is April 1st, 2024. It is Monday. We are in a new month. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I am Solid Blue Sister, and this is my turn to talk. And I hope everyone had a wonderful weekend. If they had a good weekend, if you celebrated the Easter and Good Friday. Hope you had a wonderful and peaceful weekend. And even if you didn't celebrate, I hope you had a wonderful and peaceful weekend. Hey, Brina, Brina. What's up, girl? Welcome back. Sweet Angel Bear. How are you, girl? Blunt Ninja. Hello, hello. Frankie. Hey, hey, hey. And of course, I always have to say, everyone, you're listening, be it live or on the or the replay. Welcome, 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 and thank you. And as you can upload my sub. Guys may or may not like today. Hey, Fair, welcome, welcome. My intro music has been kind of wacky lately. I don't know why. Hey, Shorty, Shorty. Okay, so let's get started. Jury duty. Is it really your civic duty to serve? And the justice system is not fair and at times downright corrupt. That's just my own particular view. Why should I be required to serve? Well, last week I was on standby for jury duty, which, actually irritated me. And first of all, good thing I didn't have to go because I was sick three of those days. But anyway, the last time I was called for jury duty was about 5 years ago, and I had to go in and I had to fill out the questionnaire, and I was called. And then the judge wanted to talk to me because of the way I filled out my form. And he asked me, he says, so do you think that you would be able to judge someone in an impartial way? And I said, no. And he says, do you truly believe that the justice system is unfair? And I said, yes. And he wanted to know why. And I told him, you know, I told him that the justice system to me was inherently unfair, that there is implicit bias just when you look at someone. A lot of people have that bias. And I would like to know before that person was arrested what led up to it. And I said, you know, if you're talking about a murder, a rape, you know, whatever, I like to know what led up to it. If you were, you know, if you were stopped for a traffic ticket, whatever it was, why was that person stopped? And the judge just looked at me, and I don't know if it was the prosecution, whatever, they just were kind of like sitting there like, I can't believe that this woman is in here saying this. And the judge said, so you really don't believe that you could sit and you can judge someone on a fair basis? And I said, no. Because I think we all have biases. And I think that to sit there and judge someone, I think that depending upon the case, I do believe that your biases would creep up. And yes, they are supposed to ask questions like, well, have you ever been a victim of a crime? Has this ever happened to you? Has this ever, you know, your family, whatever, because they try to weed those people out. But at the same time, the other person, depending upon, you know, what it is, the other attorney may want you on, the other attorney may want you off, you know. But one thing that I did ask the judge was, I asked him, I said, do you always judge people? Hey Lou, welcome. I said, do you always judge people in a fair manner? Does bias ever come in? When you are sentencing, is your sentencing always fair? If you had two people who, you know, from different backgrounds and they did the exact same thing, are you going to give, you know, this person, you know, five years, and then the next week the same person comes in here doing the exact same thing? Are you going to give them 5 years? Are you going to give them 10? Are you going to give them 3? And he just looked at me, and his face got red. And one of the bailiffs, or whatever you call them, you know, said to me, you know, you're out of line. And I said, no, I don't think so. I'm asking a question. I have the right to ask a question, you know, for a civic duty that I'm supposed to do. And I was dismissed, and I was not called. This was my first time being called in over five years. So I assume I went into some list or whatever. Mr. Enigma and GP Man, welcome. Welcome. So I just see jury duty, a mandated jury duty, as something that should not be mandated, because history has shown us that we're not always judged by a jury of our peers. And when you say a jury of your peers, who are your peers? Are they people who live in the same neighborhood as you? Are they people who come from the same walks of life? Are they people who have the same, you know, job or profession? Exactly what does that mean to be judged by a jury of your peers? And Lou says, I've never done jury duty. I always find a way out. Hey, crazy lady. Welcome. Now, my husband, he gets called. He likes serving. He has served on many, many trials, you know. But I just, you know, when you say a jury of your peers, again, who are the jury, you know, who are your peers? Because historically, it's not like that. History has shown that we have people who have killed and murdered and maimed and raped and pillaged, whatever, and they've walked away scot-free, admitting that they did it. So why should I serve on a jury and be involved in a system that is inherently fair just from the very beginning when the person is arrested? Now, are there people who are absolutely, you are guilty as sin? Yes, of course. But you also have a lot of people who are in prison for things that they didn't do. You have people who are arrested for things that they didn't do. You have people who have evidence that should be brought up but isn't, and they go to prison, or evidence that is suppressed, you know, and then you find out years later that this prosecutor was wrong, or this cop was wrong, or that witness lied. Meanwhile, you sat in jail for 15, 20 years. And yeah, they can let you out and say, oh, I'm sorry. And they can give you $20 million. Yeah, that money helps. But it doesn't get the time back that you lost. It doesn't get the time back that you miss your child's birthday parties and weddings and whatever. Or if a parent passed away, you don't get that time back. So I have a problem with the I'm very sorry. So does that mean that the person who lied to put you in prison in the first place, and you're sitting on a jury, and you listen to that, and you convicted someone based on a lie, does that mean the person who told the lie, should they do the time that you did? Should they automatically do the 20 years that you did? I mean, the system, to me, is just inherently unfair. Mr. Yinkma says, well, it's your civic duty to serve. Wouldn't you like a fair trial with your peers? So with everyone else, plus your name will go down in history as a juror who partook in a very prominent case, a well-known media focused case. If you get that case, everyone doesn't get the cases that are in the news. And no one says my civic duty to serve. The government said it's my civic duty to serve. And would I like a fair trial? Of course. But I'm asking, who are my peers? Tell me who my peers are. Who are my peers? Because like I said, history has shown that a jury of your peers are not necessarily your peers. And a lot of people have walked away because those peers allowed them to. People who have openly, like I said, confessed to murder in public. In a historical case. And then Lou says, there's millions of people who are free who should be in jail. Guilty people should go to jail. I'm just saying that it should not be mandated. And then they say, okay, well, if you don't mandate it, then we would not have anyone serving on a jury, possibly. But then again, you have people who like it. So maybe those people who enjoy it, maybe one of the questions should be, do you enjoy serving on a jury? You say yes, instead of being called just once a year, maybe those people get called once a month. I don't know. But I'm still trying to figure out who are my peers. Hey, Mr. B, welcome. Who are my peers? And Crazy Lady, did I say welcome to you? If I didn't, I'm sorry. Welcome. Mr. Nigma says, I would love to do jury duty in a very interesting and highly publicized case. But why just that case? Shouldn't every case be interesting? Or is it just the ones that are in the media? And are they, in the media because the media makes them that way? Why not just serve on a jury trial where somebody got bit by somebody's dog? Isn't that still doing your civic duty? So again, I'm still trying to figure out who are the jury of my peers. And GB says there's countless men in jail because women falsely accuse them of a broken system. Yes, there are. GB, absolutely, there are. There are. And I have a problem with that. Because juries, you get on that jury, juries are not told everything. Juries are not told everything. Things are held back from a jury. Just like things are held back from the defense or from the prosecution. Any person who is put in prison, in my opinion, even if it's just one, and they're innocent, is one person too many? Because that one person could be you. It could be someone that you know. You know, so, let's see, Brina says, do you think if they considered the background of the defendant and tailored questions to jury participants, it would help? You know, Brina, I think it, again, would show a bias. Because then you say, okay, if someone comes from an affluent home, they went to this school, their parents do this, they did this, do this. I think people are automatically going to assume, oh, well, they couldn't have done that because, oh, why would they do that because of this? But then you have somebody who came from a poor home, technically grew up on the wrong side of the tracks, may come from a single parent home. Then all of a sudden, you're going to assume, well, look at where they live. Well, look at what school they go to. And their mother does what? And their father does what? I think, again, you have that implicit bias. You know, and Mr. McMinkins says, I wouldn't mind doing any case, but usually highly publicized cases are the ones that involve a really hard mystery. I would have to disagree. Because do we hear about the other cases that are not in the news? Those could be, you know, just as much of a mystery as someone else. Did dog number one bite you, or was it dog number two? Well, dog number one is always yapping and running around and acting crazy. And dog number two always just sits there real quiet. Well, it was probably really dog number two that bit you. You know? Okay, and GB says, your peers should be people in your educational level, income level, and IQ level. Okay, so are we giving every juror an IQ test? So educational level, okay. So does that mean that someone who went to who didn't go to college should not be on a jury with someone who did? If someone has an IQ of 110, and someone else has and the defendant or whomever, or you know, has an IQ of 140, does that person automatically get kicked to the curb because their IQ level's not the same? Jordan says, nope. Let's see. Brina says, it does always feel like an imposition, but I think if we made it a volunteer basis only, there could be a chance that some people get too much power. I mean, yes, and there's a problem with that too. But I also have a problem with you telling me that if I don't serve, and if I don't reschedule, or I don't show up the next time, you're going to put a warrant out for my arrest. Seriously? And how many people are walking around here doing what? And because I didn't show up for jury duty, I'm going to possibly have a warrant out for my arrest? And Brina, this is tough to call. It absolutely is. It absolutely is. Let's see. GP, Mr. Enigma is disagreeing with you. Let's say if a person doesn't have an education or a good education and you got jury members that are idiots, the odds of them not understanding the case is greatly high, and more than likely an innocent person would be thrown in jail or prison. You need people who are smart enough to understand and distinguish the differences in the cases to get a fair and accurate judgment. That sounds good on paper, but look at our political system. We have idiots in our political system. So there's always going to be an idiot on a jury trial. I mean, seriously, and like Brina says, this is tough to call. What do you do? And again, I say, who are your peers? Who are your peers? If a 17-year-old gets accused of, you know, doing something, should he be judged by a jury of his peers who technically should be in his age group, right? It should be someone who is in high school and they judge him. If an 80-year-old man does something wrong, should we get people who are over the age of 75, between 75 and whatever, to judge them? Are they your peers? Are they your peers if you're the same race? Are they your peers if you live in the same neighborhood? Are they your peers if you have the same political party? What are your peers? Because you still have that implicit bias. You will still have people who will go into a jury room and say, well, look at how he looks. Look at how he styles his hair. Did you see the way his father came in? Well, was that the sister that was sitting over there? Implicit bias is always there. If you're a cop and you're on trial and your peers who are other cops are sitting in the courtroom, are we to assume that this cop did something right because, you know, that they were not wrong because they feared for their life? Well, this is a question I have. They allow police officers to pull a weapon on you because they fear for their life. Can I pull a weapon on a police officer because I fear for mine? That is more likely that you'll shoot me before I shoot you? Can I fear for my life? Can that be, you know, a defense for me? If you're a someone sitting, you know, and you're listening to a case that you're supposed to determine, and a police officer, you know, comes up and his or her testimony just sounds great. Sounds great. Do you automatically believe them because they are someone in blue? For me, I'm kind of looking at them sideways, because historically, depending upon who they're on the stand against, is bias. But on the other hand, it could be a good thing. And GB says, too many folks are stupid, bro. Many are only alive because they're in first world country in the 21st century. Mr. Nicholas says, according to the law, your peers are legal age adults who are sound mind that can make a reasonable decision to determine the verdict and punishment for another person. And Shorty, okay, I know you're agreeing with me. You get in more trouble, you do that, but they won't get in trouble like that. Lou says, I'm sure you can, but you need to prove it. And hopefully survive. You know, I mean, legal age adults who are of sound mind and can make reasonable decisions and determine the verdict and punishment for another person. But again, I go back to historically, that has not always been the case. And it's not always the case. There are people who, in my opinion, who are walking around free right now, who should have been in prison, but they're not. And there are people, in my opinion, and who have been proven to be innocent and still have to go through hoops just to get out of prison. We have to go back to the DA. Do they want to give, well, okay, Mr. District Attorney, we see that this person, well, yeah, you know, but what? The person even said, I lied. Okay, now you got to go back and say, well, no, why are you saying you're lying? Did you really lie? Did you not lie? Seriously. You have a certain person who still is calling for the execution of the Central Park Five, who spent years in prison for a crime they did not do, and it was proven by DNA. And came out that, again, they were railroaded by guess who? The people in blue. But you have one particular person who is still calling for their execution. Implicit bias. And Fair says, we will always have some form of implicit bias. It's sort of, yes, it is human nature. One of the ways we can combat that is with facts and evidence. Yes, if the facts and evidence are presented. And a lot of times, well, I'm not going to say a lot of the time, some of the time, they are not. Many people will be in soon prisons, and hopefully the system is as corrupt as we know it. Or some people may be out of prison because the system is corrupt and people let them out. Do you think, GPS, do you think family courts should have a jury? Family courts in terms of, you mean like child abuse, domestic abuse, things like that? Or do you mean divorce? Or when you say, how far do you want to go into the family courts? If it's something like child abuse, yes, I do. I don't think one person should be able to determine someone's guilt. But I also believe that a jury should be able to, can you get a jury that is absolutely going to be fair? And I don't believe that there is a jury that is absolutely fair. I think some people are coerced to go along because, okay, we got 11 people are saying yes, one person saying no, everybody wants to go home, so we're going to try to get this other person to say yes, or vice versa. Everybody's saying no, the other person's saying yes, we're going to try to get this other person to say yes. If it's a hung jury, it's a hung jury. Go home. GB says all of them. Okay. Do I think you should have a jury in the case of divorce? No, because if two people are not getting along, then they don't want to be married. Then I don't think somebody should come and say, well, we think that you should stay married because no. But in terms of anything else, for the most part, yes, because I do believe that judges in family court can be very biased. I think we're starting to see a shift that is changing somewhat, but I don't believe that just because when it comes to who a child should live with, that they automatically say a child should be with its mother. I don't necessarily believe that, because some mothers are, a child should live with their father. Just don't assume, well, a child should be with his mother. Why? Why can't a child be with their father? And Mr. Enigma says, I believe non-offensive criminals should be under house arrest with an ankle monitor strapped to them to serve their time. Lou says, GP, the court should have never been involved in families, but the system makes money controlling everything. Which is true. Which is true. But then again, again, with our court system, look at and see again with the whole jury thing in our court system of how corrupt it is, the fact that our courts are now, I mean, just in so many facets of our lives. They're telling, whether or not you believe it or not, and this is another show for another day, but the courts are telling women what they can and cannot do for their bodies. They are telling, places are starting to pass laws about birth control, whether or not you should be able to do this or whether you not should be able to do that. There are laws on the books, back from 17, 18, century, telling couples how they can have sex, what positions are legal and what aren't. Some of these laws are still on the books. And it may sound funny, but it's the overstepping of this that I have a problem with, that when you do go to sit and you're supposed to judge someone, well, it is a law. Seriously? And the laws that, you know, I can go on and on. Mr. Nigma says that's why you take the time to get to know the person before you marry someone. That's why you make sure that you you have the right juror and you find out why someone was arrested in the first place. And Lou says, I agree a child should be with their mothers. I don't think that a child should necessarily be with their mother. All mothers are not necessarily great, great mothers. All fathers are not necessarily great fathers. Don't assume just because, oh, it's the mother and they're nurturing, whatever. You know, you have a lot of mothers that abuse their children. You know, you have kids who are in the midst of a divorce and they want to be with their fathers. I think more judges should ask children who they want to live with. And people can say, well, children, you know, they don't have, you know, they're not old enough to determine. Children are old enough to determine who is good for them and who isn't. Which parent, you know, is the parent that screams and hollers and the parent that is more calm and dealing with them in a better way. And Mr. Neighbor says there are some women that have no business being a mother, just like there are men that have no business being a father. Absolutely. You know, and that's why I think that when you look at family court, you usually just have the judge making a decision. But what are you making that decision on? And I think that there is implicit bias in family court. And GB says the institution of marriage should be abolished, keeping the government away from personal relationships. The government should not be in personal relationships at all. Whatever you decide to do should be within your family. But unfortunately, we live in a society where it's not like that anymore. More and more and more and more. Seven men legalize abortion, so yeah, they can tell women what to do, whether they legalize it or take it away. No, you can't. Because in the end, it may be your wife, it may be your daughter, it may be your mother. But in the end, it's her body, and she's going to do whatever she wants to do anyway, whether you like it or not. You know, and then Brina says there's a lot of ain't shit moms out here have no business raising kids. When I met my son's dad, he had full custody of his daughter because his mom just wanted to party. I mean, this is what I'm saying. But some judges may give her custody just because she's a female. And Mr. Ingimga says, I have always believed that just because a woman is living with a man and is not married to that man doesn't automatically make them husband and wife. Common law husband and wife law is a lie and a way for crooked people to steal things that don't belong to them. Maybe for some people, but not for all. All common law people are not necessarily like that. So, hey, Daddy Hoff, welcome. You know, so I just, you know, personally think, again, just going full circle, that when you start asking people to serve on a jury, first of all, they don't pay enough. And here in California, it is $15 per day, which is not a lot. Whether you're on a jury or you're sitting in a room, getting paid $15 a day, seriously? That's not enough to do your civic duty. For some people, that $15 a day is seriously cutting into what they could have been making. And technically, your boss cannot stop you from going to jury duty. But they also don't have to pay you. In some places. You know, if you're that person who has to pick your child up from school, yeah, they can say, well, can't you get your neighbor to pick your daughter up, or can't you do this or can't you do that? Not necessarily. I had a friend who was called for jury duty about 2 years ago. And she was a new parent. Her daughter was about five months. And they said, well, we have childcare. And she says, I'm not leaving my child there. I don't know you. I don't know these people. I don't know these other children that they're around. And she went back and forth with them. And she had to go before the judge. And she says, you cannot make me leave my child somewhere where I don't approve. And the judge had to let her go, because you can't. I don't know who this person is who's supposed to be watching my child when I'm supposed to be doing my civic duty. I don't know these other people that they're playing around. I don't know the room that they're in. I haven't come to check the place out. Most people check places out before you leave your child. Am I supposed to think it's okay just because it's in a courthouse? And you were hired by the court? Nope, not me, not with my kid. Welcome, shy lady. You know, so again, what is your civic duty? You know, is it a police officer's civic duty first and foremost to make sure that you don't harass someone where they may have to go to court? Am I going to find that out before I make my decision while I'm, you know, deciding this person's fate? Or vice versa? Did the defendant harass the cop? And Breeden says, it does always feel like an imposition, but I think if we made a, let's see, okay, I'm sorry. This totally jumped. I read that already. Oh boy. Okay, but Mr. Mignes says, it's okay to send your kids to a building filled with strangers, kids to get educated money through charity by strangers that are called teachers and principal. That's called being a hypocrite. Mr. Enigma, you are absolutely right. That's why I homeschool. I homeschool. I'm not a hypocrite. I homeschool. And I think everyone, if they can, should homeschool their children. But again, when you, hey Spanky, welcome. But again, if you send your child to school, you're usually going to visit the school. You're usually going to take a tour. At least I am. I don't know about everybody else. I'm just not going to send my kid to school because that's the school that my kid is supposed to go to. So on September 1st, my kid's automatically going to go to the school. No, I'm that parent who is going to go into the school is going to take a tour of the entire school, is going to meet every single teacher there, whether or not my kid's in first grade or eighth grade. I'm meeting every single teacher. I'm going to be the mother who wants to know who everybody's parent is. If little Johnny is sitting next to my son, I want to know who little Johnny's parents are. I'm going to get to know them. But I homeschooled my kid, so and the one time that he was and homeschooling is not for everyone. But the one time that, you know, when he was not homeschooled, I was up at that school every single day. I even volunteered to be the librarian just so I could be present to see what is going on. Yeah, I was that parent. I was the parent that people saw and they're like, oh, here she comes. You're damn right, because like you said, the teachers and the principal, I want to know who you are. And parents, I want to know who you are too. I think everybody should know and be familiar with the people that, you know, that you are around, be it your job, your school, your church, whatever. If you're going to spend time. Shy Lady, welcome.
Hey, everybody. I totally agree. I was one of those parents who came to everything that was going on at the school. My son went to a private school, and it was a Catholic school, but I didn't realize when we enrolled him to later, because he had really, really good friends who were there before him, who were very, very highly spoken of how well the school was. And it was, for the most part, it was some really good people there. But a lot of the parents were major, major MAGA people. I mean, just major. And some of the things that their kids would say in the classroom, it wasn't even the teachers. It was like what some of the kids' views were that were astounding to me. And they were just repeating a lot of things that their parents were telling them. And as a parent, my goal and my duty was always to instill in my child goals and morals and values based on how we raised him. So as far as those other kids, my kid would never be swayed by anything any kids were taught by their parents or even the teachers. My kids were solid in who they were, where they were from, who their parents were. Nothing anybody could say could sway them from who they were and what they believed in. And as far as homeschool, you know, when it was COVID, my kids hated it. My kids, they like interacting with kids and being around and being, you know, in class and speaking and sharing their viewpoints. It was tough for mine. But some kids, you know, thrive at home and others don't. So I wouldn't say everybody should try it, because it depends on your child's personality.
Okay. All right.
So.
Okay, and that's fair. Hey, Ace, welcome, and Minnesota, welcome, and Zeta, I hope I pronounced your name correctly, welcome. Let's see, Mr. Enigma says, that still doesn't change the fact that those people are strangers teaching your children a building far from home, are strangers, and you have no way of being able to see them through cameras. Strangers, isn't it how people are willing to send their kids to a building full of strangers in hopes they teach their kids to be smarter and better productive citizens in society, but quickly say, I wouldn't send my kids over there because of strangers in a strange place. I'm just saying, food for thought. And I understand that. I totally understand that. And this is where I say that wherever you send your kids, whether you're sending them to the daycare in the jury duty room or jury duty building, whatever, or you're sending your kids to school, you as the parent should be the one who does your due diligence to investigate that particular space. Because I can say the same thing. It's interesting how people can send their kid to a birthday party. This may be a kid in your class, but I'm sending, you know, am I going to send my kid to your home? And I may not know your mother, who is the grandmother or the grandfather or the big brother or the person next door or the aunt or other people who you invited into your home. I don't know those people. And for that fact, we are always going to be sending our kids, and we ourselves are always going to be in situations where there are strangers where we are. You know, but at the same time, I'm not sending my kid someplace that I have not checked out. That's for me personally. What other people do, that's your business. But for me personally, I'm not doing it. If your kid has a birthday party, I'm coming. I will be there if you want my child there. I will be there, or my husband will be there. Well, not now because he's going to be 24, but you know, I'm going to be there. I don't agree with these schools now, and I know we got off topic somewhat, but I don't agree with these schools now that when you drop your kids off, they don't want you coming in. You have to leave them at the front door and the teacher takes them in. No, I want to know what environment my child is going into. I want to take my child to class every single morning, to class. But that's just me. You know, and again, for jury duty, I'm still wanting to know what a jury of your peers are, because the technical term is not the term that you end up with. So, the crazy lady says, a nun has ever watched my kids that wasn't an immediate family member. Okay. And crazy lady, you also said that you homeschooled yours. Okay. I will never put my kids in public schools. I will put them in private schools. If that doesn't work, isn't safe, then homeschool it is. Well, unfortunately, since school is mandated, it is a federal law. Everyone does not have the ability to put their kids in private school. Private schools aren't always the best. You have more corruption sometimes in private schools than you do in a public school. But either way, private school or public school, you're still leaving your child with strangers, right? Unless you go up there and do your due diligence. You're still leaving them with strangers. And Charlene says a lot of schools have adopted that policy for safety concerns. But at the same time, what about the safety of your child? I'm concerned about my child once they go. You know, you're saying safety concerns because you don't want somebody storming into the building with a gun or whatever. But apparently, you know, Shy Lady, are these safety concerns even working if people are still going into schools, shooting them up? So does that policy of not letting a parent pass the threshold of the front door, is that a safety concern? Is that a safety policy when apparently a gunman can come in and shoot everybody?
If I may, it depends on the school, because I know when my son was in high school, that during that COVID spell, I think he was a junior, and when I came to the school, he had to take a test. It was an SAT test. I dropped him off. I couldn't even get in the front door because they wanted me to scan my driver's license. Their scanning system wasn't working. I called them on the phone and said, look, you're scanning, because I had to come to pick him up. They wouldn't release him to me unless I came inside the building to pick him up. And of course, I couldn't even get in the building to get clocked in because I couldn't scan my driver's license. So a lot of them did go through great means to ensure the safety of the kids from outsiders. So I know, like I said, in the district that my son was in, it was top notch, really, really tight security. You had to show your license and all of that before you could even get in. You had to scan that. But some schools are lax. And I remember when my kids were in elementary school, there was a situation where they had a fence. This is back in the 2007, 2008. And they weren't as secure as they are now. I remember there was a gate on the fence, and it was unlocked. And I told the principal, I said, there needs to be a gate where no one can get in, period. I said, I don't like it, it's not safe. And they did make changes because of what I had suggested to them.
Well, you know, and I also saw where you said you totally agree, juries are so biased. But, you know, you look at the Charlotte, I'm going to mute you for a moment because of your background noise. You know, we talk about not wanting, you know, airtight security, about not wanting people to get into a school. Hey, crazy, welcome, and Power Girl, a verbal welcome to you. You know, we talk about that, about not wanting, you know, airtight security, about not wanting strangers getting into the school. But what about the people who are already in the school, who are already doing harm to your child? So what about that, the stranger within, you know? And Shorty says, I have my kids in public school and they're just fine, you know? So, you know, again, I want to go back to the whole jury thing, because again, I say that for me, I believe that this jury, the justice system, is not fair. And it is downright corrupt. And we see it with these trials that are on TV. We see the corruption. We see the corruption throughout the years that is right there in front of your face. You know, so why should I be required to judge someone impartially when the system that I'm judging with is not fair? And if the system is supposed to be so much of a jury of your peers, why do we have people in prison that are innocent? Why do we have people who were arrested that were innocent? As soon as that person is arrested, right now, you know, unless it's an arrest that is fair, immediately the system is not working. I don't feel I should have to do my civic duty and get in trouble if I don't, because I don't want to be part of a system that for me is unfair. And I know there are some people in this room right now who are disagreeing with me, and that is fine. I welcome pushback. That's how we talk and we have the discussions. But remember, everybody sees the world and lives their life through different lenses.
Solid, not name. I want to say that the whole system is corrupt. I mean, the entire system. Did you hear about people that get arrested for things that they didn't do, and they sit in prison waiting just for an indictment, and they could be innocent? It's crazy. It's nuts to me how corrupt the system is. I remember the story about the kid who had a backpack. I think he was somewhere in New York. They sent him to Rikers. He's only 16 years old, and he waited and waited in Rikers until he could get an arraignment. And then when he finally did, he had already served 2 or 3 years in a Rikers. he wound up getting out and being proven innocent, but he committed suicide a couple of years later.
And do you know who the judge was who kept him in prison? You know that judicial show on TV with the three judges?
Yeah.
Not the reboot, not the second one, but the first one, the judge who was sitting in the middle, blonde hair. She was the judge. She was the judge who kept sending that boy back for a backpack.
Crazy. A backpack.
You know, so again, the system is not fair. The system is not fair because you have people who sit in prison that are not charged. That's supposed to be against the law, but how many people sit in prison that are not charged? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. And then again, I'm supposed to be a juror. And I'm supposed to, you know, judge this person, or I'm supposed to be part of a system that is not fair from the very beginning. Everything sounds great on paper, but the problem that we have, everyone, is the fact that we're all humans. We're all human. And I don't care how you want to say, oh, but I'm this and I would never do this. We're all human and we all have biases. But go ahead, shy lady.
I'm sorry. So I'm going to get away from this little area with these kids with all this noise. But I wanted to say that what's really sad, Solid, is that you have these people in the whole system. Why would you put a 16-year-old with no criminal record with murderers, suspected murderers that are grown? Why would you put a 16-year-old in an environment like that in the first place?
And that is why I said when I first, 5 years ago, when I was called before the judge because of the way I answered my questionnaire, is when I said, and I asked the judge, I said, how do you sentence people? Are you fair? Because judges aren't fair. They are not fair. I don't care whether you're sitting on the Supreme Court or you are a judge sitting in night court for traffic court, whatever. We all have implicit biases. The system is not fair. And what happened to that young man was sad. Because he was finally let out after 2 years, and he committed suicide. And the only thing that you can say is, "Oh, I'm sorry." Well, damn, my kid's dead. He killed
that
himself.
That child was raped, you know, abused, mistreated.
Yeah, he was all of that over a backpack. You know, so it just doesn't sound, it just isn't right. And then let's see, I need to go back to what GP said to see what Ace is saying. Okay, Ace says, juror of your peers, but they stack the jury. They try to pull as many they think will be in their favor on both sides as possible. Bringer says issuing warrants going too far. GP says men on average do 64% more time than women for the same exact crime. The law is very biased. Ace says, but GP, let's not start on stats and biases because there are other concerns that are larger than just the gender. You're right. Because, and then GP says to Ace, I am not wrong, but at the same time, Ace isn't wrong either. We have people of color who are, you know, their sentences are far more harsh for the exact same crime than their white counterparts. And yes, men do harder time than women for the same crime. And I think that that's wrong. I mean, back in the Western times, You know, they were hesitant to hang a woman, but they would hang a man for the same for the same crime. The system is corrupt. So again, I say, who are the jury of my peers? When Emmett Till was murdered, they definitely had the jury of their peers because they went free. And I can name off hundreds of cases that were like that. So again, you look at the system. You look at the people who are in power, the prosecutors, the lawyers for the defendants. Even sometimes they do a half-assed job. Who's getting paid off for this? Who's getting, because in the end, there's always somebody who wants money. You have these prisons that are being built that are private. And the way they make money is to have as many people incarcerated as possible. And I'm supposed to serve on a jury? Now, Mr. Enigmas asked me earlier, would I want a fair trial? Is he still here? No, he's not. Wait, is he still here? No, he's not. Okay, so, you know, yes, I would want a fair trial. Absolutely. Do I think there would be some bias? Yep. I absolutely do. So, I don't know, you guys. I mean, you all think I'm just totally overboard or you know, I mean.
Can you hear me solid?
Yes, yes. Yes, I can hear.
Well, solid, can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay. I wanted to say that I remember a couple of years ago, my husband was working for this company, and they were talking about a product that could, it was kind of like a camera that they wanted to display, like where all the light poles and all these things. I don't know the details of it because I wasn't selling it, but I remember he told me that they said that that's a great idea. You know, that would really, really help with a lot of the crime. And he talked to a police officer. And you know what the police officer said?
What?
That's a terrible idea. that would put all of us out of business. We love crime. That's what he said.
Well, that's what slave patrols usually do. And yes, I said that because that's where police officers started from.
They don't do anything to try and deter this. They love it. And then
I will say there are some police officers. Police officers who do a good job. There are. I have run into a few, and I have told them so. Rena says he said that the quiet part out loud. Yeah. You know, so, you know. But anyway, y'all, I'm past my hour. Shiley, thank you for popping up here. And thank you, everyone, for your comments. I know that a lot of people disagree with me who are in the chat, but that is fine. I want shows where I can push people, where they can push me. We need more of that. If everybody agreed with everyone, it would be a very boring world. But we need to talk about the quiet parts. We need to talk about the ones, you know, like I said before, the ones that everybody wants to whisper about. You know, we need to bring stuff out in the open. And a lot of times when you do that, it makes people uncomfortable. But the uncomfortable conversations are the ones that we need to have. And, you know, if there are people who are on the panel, you know, or in the chat or whatever that you don't like or you don't feel, you know, at ease around. Don't say anything. Just sit and listen. You know, but everybody has an opinion about something. Everyone has a view about something. And as long as you're not being disrespectful, I believe everyone has a right to say the quiet part out loud. Everyone has a right to say the loud part out loud, or the loud part in a quiet voice, however you want to say it. You know, but there's a lot going on in this world right now. And I'm going to be talking about a lot of things that some people may want to engage in, and some people may not. That is your choice. There are no victims in my podcast, unless you make yourself to be one. You know, but I will always talk about things that I think need to be talked about, because I'm not one to talk about stuff, you know, in quiet, but I can't talk about it in public. Unless it's my own personal family business, whatever. You keep your family business to yourself. I keep my family business to myself, whatever. But, you know. So, on that note, thank you, Brina. On that note, I am going to end it, and I am going to leave us with, you all may like the song, you may not like the song. It is one of my favorite late, great Curtis Mayfield. Miss Martha.
About past noon, but from her eyes I just see a sad and blue.
Miss Martha,
is there anything that I can do for you?
She'd say,
no, my son, the Lord will see me through.
All right.
Her little son, name is Little Ray.
Little Ray.
In his eyes, and all he know is getting paid. Sell his soul to the devil if he could. Mrs. Martha, she'd do her best, like we know she always would.
Sometimes on the cloud, sometimes and times I'm down. Sometimes right, one way in and no way out. But we all know each other and spread love.
My feet amongst each other.
Like Miss Martha.
Like Miss Martha. Yeah. Yeah.
Like Miss Martha.
Like Miss Martha. Oh, 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 yeah.
Like Miss Martha.
Like Miss Martha. Miss Martha.
Like Miss Martha.
Like Miss Martha. Oh, yeah.
Staring at a place just to see the waste. Never much to say. Kept an empty face.
Miss Martha,
could it be she just doesn't have a man? Mm. Or maybe we just don't understand.
All right.
There are so many things I wish to do for you. Follow your heart to make the dreams come true. The reason why I haven't passed away, I live to make sure
you see a better day. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sometimes I'm yeah. Low, and times I'm down. It's like one way in and no way out. But we all
know each other.
each other.
Sometimes I'm up and sometimes I'm down. It's like one way in and no way out. But we all just know each other.
Yeah.
And spread love around the world. And spread love around the world.
Not hate amongst each other.
Sometimes
just like this, just like this,
and times
just like this.
It's like
one way in and no way out.
But we
all
know each other. And spread love around the world.
Not hate amongst each other.
Sometimes I'm up
and sometimes down.
It's like
one way in, y'all, and one way out. But we all just know each other.
And that was the late, great Curtis Mayfield, Miss Martha. He has a repertoire that is just amazing, amazing. And as if anyone remembers, he is the person who did the soundtrack to Superfly. But anyway, guys, and I apologize for the noise in the background. My window is open, so I don't know if you hear the kids next door. But anyway, I will be here tomorrow. Shiley, again, thank you for popping up on the panel. Thank you for you guys coming. And enjoy your day or evening wherever you are. Bye.